Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode number 19 of the People Powered Business Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Christy Lee, and thank you so much for joining me here today. I do really appreciate the time you spend with me here on the podcast each and every week, and I hope that you're finding the strategies, tactics, tips, and advice that we're providing here on the podcast really useful and most importantly, really practical in terms of being able to implement them into your business or use them as part of your leadership journey within your organization. Now, today on the podcast, we are discussing one of the core fundamental elements of any recruitment process, and that is, of course, the interview. Interviews are a big topic, and so today, really, what I want to focus on is one particular aspect of interviews, and that is five questions that I believe are complete and utter time wasters, yet are asked at almost every interview that I ever hear about. Why do I want to share with you time-wasting questions? Well, here's the thing. If you're interviewing for a position, it takes a fair bit of your time. If you're not spending more than a solid 20 minutes in an interview, it's too short. You're not getting enough information. And if you're spending, 45 minutes to an hour is pretty common for most interviews. If you're interviewing several people for a position, that's literally hours of your time. And in any other aspect of your business, if you are going to invest hours and hours of your time, I'm certain that you look to make that productive and efficient and effective. You get some ROI on that time. So why should the interview be any different? If you're going to spend the time conducting an interview, the most important thing to do is to make sure there's value in it, to make sure you're getting the information that you need to find out whether that person is right for you and your business. So how do you feel about conducting interviews? Are you the sort of person that it puts a knot in your stomach, makes you feel a little bit sick, makes you do an eye roll, makes you really just frustrated that you have to spend time doing this process even though you know it's really important? Or do you love it? Do you love chatting to people, learning more about them, getting to know more about the people that you're interviewing? Or do you outsource it and get someone else to do it? All of us feel really differently about interviews, but unanimously we know that they're an important part of any recruitment process. It's one of the things you just cannot do away with. There's lots of new technology and different ways to do interviews, but they're still an important part of the process. And if you're the business owner or if you are the one leading the team, it's imperative that you are involved in the process for at least one of the interviews. I know people that love doing interviews. So for them, it's not a chore, but it can be a massive time waster. In fact, I'll share with you a story I had when I first started my business. Back in 2006, I started a recruitment agency because I'd worked in that industry previously. And I had a number of consultants that worked with me, and one of them who was fabulous, one of my favorite employees ever, but she loved doing interviews to the point where she'd want to be everyone's best friend at the end of the interview. She just loved connecting with people. She liked getting to know more about them, and she is someone that saw the good in everybody. So she was fabulous at conducting interviews, but the pitfall was that, of course, she wanted to give everyone a job because she loved everyone, and in our world, that just wasn't a likely scenario. And then I've had other consultants work with me who the interview is not their favorite part of the job. They know they have to do it, but it's a chore. And the problem either way is neither of those two scenarios necessarily are the most valuable interviews because there's a lack of focused investment on what you're doing within the interview. So the thing with interviews is you don't have to love them. You do have to, though, understand their value and understand how you can get value out of doing them. So the most critical way to get the best value, of course, is to ask the right questions and don't ask the wrong ones. What we know about interviews is interviews are a two-way street. They are as much for you to get to know the applicant and what their skills are, what their experience is, and whether, most importantly, they are going to fit in with your team. But equally, they're about the applicant getting to know you, getting to know what the business is like, what the position's about, what the team culture's like, and for them to make a decision as to whether they want to move forward as this being a good fit for them. So it's really important that there is transparency in the interview process, because if you, as the employer, as the interviewer, put a front on that is not reflective of what your business is really like, you're leading the applicant down a trail that is almost a little bit unfair and deceitful, because they're not making decisions based on the reality of what they're stepping into. Done well, interviews will really allow you to understand the applicants that are sitting in front of you. As I said earlier, it's about their skills and their experience, but most importantly, it's about their suitability for your team. Do they fit in with your culture? Do they share the same values as your organization? The interview also is a great opportunity for you to get really clear about what's important to you, because sitting in interviews, you'll suddenly realize that your must-have criteria and your desirable criteria are possibly a little bit hazy, because if someone's a great fit for your team, certain things might be forgiven, whereas someone's not a great fit for your team, you'd be much stricter on your criteria. The thing that I really want to impress on you here, though, is an interview is only part of the recruitment process. It is an important part, absolutely, but it's just one part of the process. Do not rely on interviews alone to make your recruitment decisions. So at the top of the episode, I mentioned to you that I was going to share with you today 5 complete and utter time-wasting questions. But I'm not just going to share that with you. What I'm going to do is also pose alternative questions that you could ask in place of those questions, which would be much more valuable and give you a much better insight into the applicants that you are interviewing. So let's look at those 5 time-waster questions. The first one is, and I absolutely hate this question, I find it so frustrating that employers ask this: where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years from now? Now, if you think anyone is going to give you a straight answer on that, you are crazy. And who knows and who cares? You don't know where your business is going to be in 5 to 10 years, most likely. Things change so rapidly these days that it's an unfair question to ask, and it's an absolute, complete and utter waste of time, because no one knows, and they're not going to be able to tell you the truth. And if they do know, i.e. I want to be a housewife and have 5 kids at home, they're probably not going to tell you that in an interview. Or I see myself traveling the world with my mates, they're not going to tell you that in an interview either. So it's a question that is never going to elicit an accurate or honest response, because an honest response is probably not going to serve the candidate particularly well. A candidate is not going to sit there and say to you, I want to be running my own business using all the skills that you're about to teach me, are they? I doubt it very much. So what can you ask instead of, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? Now, I think this all comes down to, what's your purpose for even thinking about asking that question? Really ask yourself why you're asking that question. Are you asking that question because you think it's a good idea, or because you think it's a stock standard interview question you should ask? Or are you actually looking to get some information out of that question? Are you perhaps looking to understand the candidate's stability and their intention of staying for at least a period of time to make your return on investment in training them worthwhile? Are you looking to understand whether they are about to go traveling or start a uni degree or move into state? What are you trying to get out of this question? Now, you know you can't ask any personal questions like, are you about to start a family? So some people ask this question to try and elicit information because they can't ask the question directly. But I think some better questions that you can ask instead of this might have to do with, for example, if you're looking to assess stability from the candidate, another question you could ask is, how long do you see yourself being happy in the position that you've applied for? That allows the applicant to indicate their career pathway progression opportunities that they may be seeking without necessarily having to leave your organisation, but it allows them to discuss how long before they see themselves stepping into a different position or a new position or a leadership role. So it will assess how long they're going to be happy in this role as opposed to wanting to move up the ranks, for example, within your organisation. You might also ask, what are their long-term career goals? You could ask them, thinking of yourself 10 years from now, what will you have achieved personally and professionally for your life to have been successful? These are much more telling questions because an applicant really has to think about it, both from their career and their professional standpoint, and it allows them to be really quite whole in their answers without saying that they don't plan to be around, but that it gives you an indication where they see their future without asking such a stock standard question. So some alternative questions you might have are, how long do you see yourself being happy in this role that you've applied for? What are your long-term career goals? And long-term is, there's various interpretations of that, so it allows them to apply their own interpretation. And if you were thinking of yourself 10 years from now, what would you have achieved personally and professionally for your life to be successful? Because we know that most applicants see life and career intertwined these days. They're not two separate things. So one is not mutually exclusive to the other. So that allows them to talk about their whole life success, which will in turn give you some of the insight that you were probably looking for in asking that question. Question number two on my time-wasting question list is, tell me a little bit about yourself. Again, what are you thinking by asking this question? What are you hoping to achieve by asking this question? Do you think all applicants are going to be honest when they answer this question? I can tell you from my experience, having been doing interviews in a recruitment and HR sense for more than 20 years and in my work career for another 10 years prior to that, this is the truth. You'll get one of three types of responses to this question. The first response will be a very rehearsed elevator pitch, not accurate, but designed to dazzle you with their brilliance. It'll be articulate, it'll be well rehearsed, it'll be tight and succinct, and you'll think, wow, but it won't be true. The second is you'll get a complete backstory of their entire life, which might be a really interesting story to hear. It's going to take a long time, and I don't think you'll get much value out of the answer that you're going to get from that. So hearing where they grew up and about their family and all of those things might be interesting. It might give you a few clues about them, but it's really not going to give you great insight that's going to really help you with your decision making. And the third type of response you get to this question is the deer in the headlights response. The poor applicant that didn't expect or prepare for this question, that has no idea what to say and just speaks for the sake of speaking, usually rambling and again giving you fluffy information that's not particularly valuable to what you want to hear. So, what can you ask instead of the very generic, tell me a little bit about yourself? Again, I'd ask you to really reflect on what you're trying to achieve by asking this question. Are you wanting to know what they do in their spare time or their hobbies and interests? Does that really matter to you? Or are you looking to find out something else about them, more about their personality perhaps? If that's the case, an alternate question might be, if I asked one of your friends or family members to describe you, what would they tell me? This is a great frame-up question because it makes the applicant they don't speak from their own perspective. They genuinely will try and speak from their friend's perspective. And they won't say, well, I'm like this. They'll say, my mum would describe me as, or my best friend would describe me as. And it will put a very different frame on things and will give you a lot more insight. Because when people are describing themselves as to how they think friends and family might describe them, it's easier for them to be a little bit more open and elaborate because it's not a sales pitch. It's a very different way to approach it. So instead of the tell me a bit about yourself, just have a try of, if I asked one of your friends or family members to describe you, what would they tell me? You can also ask that question in the same way about a previous manager. Now, you'd be getting different responses you would expect. And in fact, I like to use both of these when I do interviews. But I always ask, thinking of your previous boss or previous manager, whoever they reported to, usually for either a more recent or longer term role, how would they describe you and what would they tell me about what you're like at work? And you get some really interesting responses to that as well. Question number three on the list of interview time wasters is this. What are your weaknesses? If you think someone's going to tell you the truth here, you're deluded. I hate to be that blunt, but who would ever tell someone their actual weaknesses? Instead, what an applicant will do every single time is wrap up a positive or something that is obviously not a weakness and try and make it out like it's a weakness so that you can then respond with, oh, that's not a weakness. That's actually a strength. They might use things like, I'm a perfectionist. I really like to pay attention and get things done right. Or I'm a people pleaser. I really like to make sure my boss has everything they need. They're going to give you something that they know you want to hear. Applicants these days are well practiced at interviews and they're very good at them. So they're not going to give you an honest and transparent answer is. What could you ask in place of this question? Instead of asking, what are your weaknesses? I like to ask questions like, what are the challenges you think you'll face if you are successful in securing this role? You're asking them to reflect on the things that they know that they're going to find a bit tough. And that's okay because coming into a new role is not easy, but you're really asking them to pinpoint where they know their weaknesses are without asking directly. Another way to say this is, what are some of the skills that you think you'll need to develop further in order to be successful in this position? I'll just recap that and not stumble over my words. What are some of the skills you think you'll need to develop further to be successful in this role? Again, this does exactly the same thing. It makes the applicant think very quickly about the bits they know that are going to be difficult about the role or that they don't have the skills in or that they're going to need to do some learning in and describe those to you. Now, this does not create problems. It just helps you know where the challenges are going to be and what the training requirements might be. But if you had simply said to them, what are your weaknesses, you would not have got the same answer. So you can see here by reframing the question, you're actually getting more targeted and relevant information that's going to help you to make a better hiring decision. Okay, on to time-wasting question number 4. Can you use blank? Insert the name of any system that you're about to ask a candidate about. Can you use MYOB? Can you use Publisher? Can you use Facebook Ad Center? Whatever it is that you are going to ask them to be an expert in. And again, I'm going to challenge you here to look at what it is that you're hoping to get there. This question is a complete waste of time for a few reasons. The first thing is they're very likely to say yes and try and figure it out later, so they actually don't have the skill set. Secondly, they're going to say no, and you know that that doesn't really matter. Because thirdly, if you're using this criteria, you're basically assuming that you want to hire someone that either can't or doesn't want to learn. And I'm going to challenge you here, is that really what you want? Of course not. You want an employee that is able to learn new skills, pick up new systems, because although this is the system that you use now, and for the first couple of weeks it would be easier if they already knew it, long term that's not what matters, because you'll have new systems and new processes and new products, and they're going to need to learn those at some point as well. So an alternative question that's going to give you a whole lot more value is, describe a time when you have had to learn a brand new software system. What was the system? How long did it take you to master? And what learning methods did you use to assist you to master that system? Now, that's a loaded question. It's what we call a behavioral question, where we're asking applicants to reflect back on something they've done in the workplace before. And behavioral questions are great. I encourage you to weave at least a few into every interview. But this is going to help you understand how they've had to apply a learning process to a software system in the past. And they would have absolutely had to, because every employer uses different systems. Of course, we know there are some standard enterprise systems like MYOB, like Xero, like Microsoft Office. But the reality is, if they know the system or don't know the system, the only difference it's going to make is the first couple of weeks when you're going to have to spend some time training them. I don't think it's worth foregoing the ability to learn just to get someone that already knows the system. So I think it's a far better question to ask them to demonstrate how they've learnt new things in the past so that you get a real idea about how they can learn on the job with you. Okay, so question number 5 on my list of time-wasting questions, and I must say I probably could have made this an episode of 20 or 30, but I thought I'd keep it to 5 to keep you entertained today. But question number 5 is, why do you want to work for us? I will preface this by saying it's not a complete time waster. However, if you frame it like that, why do you want to work for us? You're not going to get complete honesty. They'll say some lovely things, they'll make you feel very good about your business, but they'll say the things that they know are going to please you. They're not going to give you 100% honesty and transparency. So instead, what I encourage you to do is ask them questions along the lines of, firstly, I always ask them, what do you know about our business? So you want to get to know whether they've done the research, whether they've looked at your website, whether they, you know, if they're from the industry, what their perception is of your business. And then I follow that question up with, what you know about us has made us an appealing employer for you. So you're asking them, based on the information you know and that you have, what makes us an appealing prospect for you to want to come and work with? That's a far deeper question than simply, why do you want to work for us? Because you're asking them to take what they've learnt by visiting your website or by conducting some industry research or by talking to people that they know who know you and apply specifically that knowledge to their desire to work for you. So it's much more layered. Now, if you get a response to the first question that is, I don't really know much about you, so they haven't done their research, that's probably one point of concern. But an alternative follow-up question would be, or an alternative to asking the question this way at all would be, describe the type of business you want to join from a cultural, leadership, and team perspective. You're asking them to describe their ideal employer. So rather than saying, why do you want to work for us, and eliciting responses that are very much, oh, I think you're fabulous, you've got a great reputation, I love the products you provide, you're going to get responses about, I want to join a business that, and you're asking them to tell you specifically. The reason I love this question is it actually gives you great insight into values and what an applicant values in a business. So I've had responses to this question which are, I want to work for a business that values their staff and encourages learning and development. Or I want to work for a business that has a great team and where the team all really get along very well. Or I want to work for a business that is flexible and is family friendly and understands that I have a family and I'll put in 100% when I'm here, but there is some flexibility and some give and take. It gives you so much more insight than asking a very leading question like, why do you want to work for us? So they are my top five time wasters at interview. Let's recap them for you. Number one, instead of asking, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? Ask them how long they're going to be happy in the position that they've applied for. And also, thinking of yourself 10 years from now, what will you have achieved personally and professionally for life to be successful? Number two, instead of asking, tell me a little bit about yourself. Instead, ask, if I asked one of your friends or family members to describe you, what would they tell me? Number three, instead of asking, what are your weaknesses? Ask them what challenges they think they'll face if successful in the role, and or what are some of the skills they think they need to develop further to be successful in the position. Number four, can you use blah specific system? Instead, ask them to describe a time when they've had to learn a brand new piece of software and ask them what it was, how long it took them to master it, and what methods they used to assist them in learning it. And lastly, number five, instead of asking, why do you want to work for us? Ask them what they know about your business and what about that makes them an appealing employer for them. Or ask them to describe the type of business they want to join from a cultural, leadership, and team perspective. If you reframe just those five questions into much more direct, targeted, and valuable questions, you're going to get so much more benefit from the interview, so much better insight into the applicant, and you're going to be in a much better position to understand whether they've got the skills, the experience, and most importantly, the fit for your team that you're looking for within your organization. I hope that's been really helpful for you today. If you've enjoyed today's episode or you found it valuable, I would absolutely love it if you could head over to Apple Podcasts and provide us a review there. We would really appreciate that. Or share this episode with someone else in business who you know will find it beneficial and helpful. That would be wonderful if you could do that. We would so appreciate it. As always, if you'd love to connect with us, you can head over to Facebook, to the People Powered Business Facebook page. And for today's show notes, if you head over to People Powered Business and click on episode number 19, we'll have all the details of these five time-wasting questions and the alternatives for you there. Thanks for joining me. Have a fabulous week, and I look forward to speaking with you next week on the People Powered Business Podcast.